Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Andy Griffin. I'm here every day. Most days, anyway. I've got Michelle Randall on Mayor Thursday here. She's the mayor of St. George City. Hi, Michelle. How are you?
Good morning, Andy.
Dressed to the nines. You look great.
Hey, we match.
Yeah, we both pink and black kind of theme going.
Yeah. We could have gone to a Sadie's dance and taken a picture.
Yes, but my wife and your husband would be like, what?
Well, that was before we probably knew that.
Yeah. Michelle and I are actually pretty much the same age. What month were you born in?
February.
So you are like a few weeks older than me. As well. I was born March 1st.
February 27th. So let's say you're
like two days older
unless smoke. It's a leap year.
Yeah, it was not. It was 66. I would have actually been born on the 29th had it been a leap year because I was, you know, the first day of March. But and I'd only be, I think I'd be like 15 years old now or something, or 14 or something.
Do you think you'd feel that way? 15.
Wouldn't it
be nice?
My wife will tell you I act that way sometimes still. But thanks for coming on today. And we're happy today to talk about all things St. George City, a city that is now over 100,000. What is it? Maybe 110 or so?
I'd guess about 105.
105? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's crazy just the way it's growing. And, you know, we've had Washington City Mayor on. We've had Hurricane Mayor on. And they say, well, you know, we're going to grow and maybe someday pass St. George. I don't know if that's ever going to happen. Geographically, Hurricane is very large. It could get really big.
Hurricane could surpass us, but...
I mean, we're not talking like next year or in 10 years. We're talking like in 2060 or something, maybe.
A very long time. Yeah. But, you know, there's a lot of people that complain about growth and the people here. But just look out your window. Why wouldn't you want to be here?
Mm-hmm. It's a great
time. You know, really, August, July, not so much. But I put up all my fall stuff on Labor Day. Yes, I'm one of those. Yeah. Bring on all the pumpkin spice right now.
Nice.
I'm trying to, you know, force fall to come really quick. But still right now, it's pretty beautiful outside and the nights are cooling off and...
Well, we're big pumpkin people at my house. My wife, every year, so we do the, you know, the jack-o'-lantern things, but we don't cut them. We draw them. We paint them. And then when Halloween is over, my wife, for lack of a better word, slaughters the pumpkins and makes pumpkin puree, which we then put in the freezer and we have all year long because I like pumpkin muffins and pumpkin cookies and pumpkin cake all year long. And so,
well, we're that's pumpkin nice.
People. Yeah, we love it.
My kids still tell me I was a horrible mom because I absolutely hated doing jack-o'-lanterns. I didn't like it as a kid. Really? It was messy. It was gross. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, getting all the guts out of there. I just, ew.
Yeah. Ew. And it's 60s. But that's why we would paint them. But then when it came time to cut them up for the pumpkin puree, I was the skin guy. Because you can't put the skin in the puree. That doesn't work. And pumpkin skin is hard to get off. It doesn't like to get off there. So maybe there's maybe somebody has a tip or a trick for me, a life hack on getting pumpkin skin off because I'm no good at it.
But the leaves are starting to fall. But I was talking to my mom, I think it was yesterday, and I mentioned something about leaves starting to fall. And she said, well, that's just because the days are getting shorter. Leaves don't fall because of the temperature. They fall because of
the light,
the shorter days.
Really? Okay.
According to the...
She's wise.
She expert right. mom.
Yeah.
But that could be totally BS, but I don't know. But all I know is the leaves are falling, and fall is one of my favorite time of years, and so I am super excited, and we got a lot of fun things happening this month.
Cool. We'll talk about them in a minute. I want to read a couple of news stories and comment on them if you want to comment on them. Some of them are in St. George City. Some of them are not. Let's see. Sheriff's Office investigated a very sad story out of Vail. A three-year-old boy was left in a hot car.
I read that last night.
And passed away on Monday. They're investigating, but it sounds like just a terrible tragedy. They forgot.
But you know what makes me really sick is I was reading some of the comments. And people are...
Comments. You shouldn't read the comments, Michelle.
No, I know.
They're not nice, usually.
People are horrible. Yeah. These poor people just lost their son due to their own fault. Yeah. They're never going to forgive themselves.
Yeah.
And yet people are just trashing them horribly. It just makes me sick.
there was an assault on Halfway Wash Trail. Do you know where Halfway Wash Trail is?
Okay. So it used to be called the Dean Terry Wash. It's the trail right by the Sand Hollow Aquatic Center.
Oh, okay. Over there. Mm-hmm. Apparently, it was at 4 a.m. A woman was assaulted and was injured. I'm not sure in what way because there were no details given yet, but she was being treated for her injuries. They have no description right now of the suspect. They were hoping they could find some surveillance video and get some. I don't know if you know any more about that, but that sounds awful.
I do, but I'm not.
You're not
going
allowed to talk
to
about
say.
It. Okay. I understand. My wife does that all the time, too. In fact, I often get this from my wife. Honey, I'm going to tell you something, but you can't talk about it on the radio. I'm like,
well, it was a brutal assault.
Yeah.
And women, if you're out there walking and it's dark, make sure you have something with you. Can of mace.
Well, hopefully a partner.
Something.
I won't let my wife go walking early in the morning unless she's got someone with her. I just think it's
and
a bad idea.
And that is not to say that is the woman's fault.
Right.
Not at all.
No.
But we have to be careful. And Halfway Wash can get a lot of underbrush growth in there. And our bike patrol has found homeless camps in there. And so it's not a very safe place to be at any time of the day, but especially in the dark. And we are really hoping and praying that they find whoever did this and put them away.
The police are asking for your help out there, your listeners. If you know anything about this, who might have been involved or anybody that was around that time, call the St. George Police Department. Let's catch this bad guy for sure.
That's right.
Weird story out of Lake Powell. They found a car in Lake Powell. A guy had been missing for a couple of years. They found his car, and then when they pulled the car out of the lake, there was a dead body inside that it was unrecognizable 2 years underwater, as you kind of imagine. But they assume that it's the guy. They're doing tests on it and stuff, but it's just kind of a spooky
story. I hadn't heard that story. My daughter and son-in-law and their family just returned from Lake Powell yesterday. And that, you know, I'm not a huge lake person.
Yeah.
Give me a chlorinated pool where I can see
too.
The bottom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because things like that.
Yeah.
Do you know it's floating in the bottom of Lake Powell? No. This car and the dead person's been down there 2 years.
And
you're just out there skiing and swimming and, you know,
I have, because of my problems with my cellulitis in my leg, I'm not allowed to go in lakes, rivers, or the ocean. Everybody's like, why not? What's the big deal? I'm like, well, you realize how dirty those things are?
I mean, horrible.
Yeah. So, okay, one more. This one is a sad but cool story. Up in Springdale, a couple was walking along the sidewalk. It's the middle of the afternoon.
Springdale or
Springville? Springville. Yeah, okay. It was up north. And a guy in a truck pulling a trailer came around the corner, didn't navigate the corner correctly, and came right at the couple. The man pushed his wife out of the way and was struck by the vehicle himself and died. Sad, of course, but also what an amazing story of heroism. That guy basically said, I would give my life for my wife, and he did.
He loved her.
Cool. Yeah.
Some men may have pushed their wife and ran.
I have
life insurance. Here you go. Yeah. No, that is very heroic and horribly tragic. And didn't you say the driver was under the influence?
Yeah, the driver has been arrested and faces vehicular homicide and DUI charges. So, yeah, that's kind of the darkest side of that story was that a drunk guy killed somebody.
Exactly.
That's just absolutely awful. One more of Washington County school bus driver has been arrested on 20 counts of sexual exploitation of a minor. Daniel Workman is under arrest. They found multiple images of child sex acts on his computer.
Disgusting, and hopefully he never sees the light of day.
He was employed by Washington County School District at the time of his arrest. He is no longer employed.
No, he would not be.
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of concerned parents out there wanting to know what school he drove for, and they have every right to know that, but according to the police department, it wasn't any of the school kids
here. Yeah, thank goodness, yeah. I did have one other thing. West Nile virus, and maybe this is one of my...
You are just full of just fun news this morning.
So sadly, someone in northern Utah has passed away from West Nile virus. There are now about 14 cases in the state of Utah of West Nile virus, which is usually spread by mosquitoes.
Yeah.
I will say this. First of all, I compliment St. George City. I think does a really great job of making sure we don't have a lot of mosquitoes. I live by not very far from a pond, and yet I rarely see a mosquito in my
area. That's actually countywide. So
okay, it's a county thing.
You'll notice on your property tax bill, you pay a little tiny sliver to the mosquito abatement district.
And happy to do so.
And they are the ones that keep the mosquitoes from just hovering over all the open water.
Now, I did get a text concerning, so this is a St. George City question or maybe comment about Middleton, the Forest Park, which is behind my house. So I'm like, all right, full disclosure, it's right by my house. But I'm not the one that made the comments. But apparently a couple of trees have fallen in Forest Park, and people are wondering if something needs to happen there, if they need, I don't know why they would. These are trees with green leaves, so they seem healthy, but they have a couple of trees have fallen. So people are like, I don't want a tree to fall in my house. Can you check into it? So we'll pass that.
I have a staff meeting at 10, and Shane Moore, our parks director, is in there, and ask him what's going on over at the Forest Park.
Yeah.
Why the trees are falling in the forest.
Seemingly very healthy trees, too. It's kind of a weird thing, but. Yeah, there were at least two. I know my house, there is a tree that is tall enough. I think it would reach my house if it were to fall. Hopefully that one, it's not going to be a problem. But and it would have to fall exactly the right direction. And hopefully, like I said, that won't be a problem.
Yeah, hopefully it's a freak thing, but I will check it out.
So are there any
other? And then I'll text you. Okay. So you can text your neighbor.
Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
That. My wife and my neighbor both are concerned about it.
So,
tell me a little bit about what you expect at a staff meeting today about and then city council after that. What's kind of a hot thing going on right now?
At staff meeting, all of the department heads get together. Mm-hmm. We go over tonight's agenda. Mm-hmm. And then upcoming agenda items that may be on future agendas. We talk about new hires, any employee issues, talk about communications, what we're out there doing to promote different things. And the staff can just bring up anything that they need to. And then tonight for city council, our pre-agenda is almost as long as our agenda tonight.
Really? So what is a pre-agenda as opposed to an agenda?
A pre-agenda is items like a proclamation. There's a proclamation for Constitution Week. There's a proclamation for Marathon Day. We are honoring Kai Beckstrand. He won the
American Ninja Warrior, Kai Beckstrand.
Yeah, and he is a part-time firefighter for us.
Nice.
His dad's a full-time firefighter for us. We're also honoring...
Now, is his dad Jared?
His dad's name's Scott.
Scott, okay. Because I know Beckstrands, but it's like a family. There's a whole bunch of them, and I know some of them, but apparently I don't know all of them.
Well, and he also raced his brother in the
right, Luke, yeah.
Yeah, and Luke in the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
And Luke was ahead.
I watched that. Yeah, it was actually a really good race.
It was.
But, Kai passed him toward the end, and I think Luke kind of took some chances at the end and ended up losing. But
the amount of strength you have to have. I watch, and I'm in awe that they can do that. And then we're honoring Dally Holyoke. She was crowned in July as Miss Rodeo Utah.
Nice.
She's only the third person from Southern Utah to ever get that crown. So she'll represent all of Utah starting in January across the country. And then next December at the National Finals Rodeo, she'll try out for Miss Rodeo America.
Wow.
And then the hospital's coming to give us their yearly update. So that's all before we even hit the agenda.
Wow. I had an ER nurse on not that long ago, and I asked her, what was the number one reason people go to the ER? What's the number one injury, or why are they there? Okay, do you want to hazard a guess, Michelle?
What?
Come on. You used to run an ambulance company. What would you say is number one? This is not a test. You can just throw a wild guess out there, and it's fine.
Broken bone.
Okay. Yes, sort of. the number one reason is falls in the home.
Okay.
And usually they call them GLFs, ground level falls. People trip on a rug, trip over the pet, trip over something on the floor or whatever. That's the number one reason people go to the ER in St. George.
Really?
Ground level falls, GLFs.
So people don't know this. Now IHC has an orthopedic urgent care. So if you do break a bone, you don't have to go and wait in the ER and be there for like 3 hours. You go over to the ortho urgent care, which is over on where like the health and performance building is behind the building behind the ER.
Okay.
If you're going east.
Okay, behind the hospital.
Behind the hospital.
Okay.
And so they're open. I think they close at like 8 at night. But when I broke my arm, I went in there, and they can do x-rays and everything in there and tell you if you need surgery and get you scheduled with an orthopedic. And it's orthopedics that run it. But it saves you a lot of time from going into the ER. And it also frees up the ER to see more critical patients than just a broken wrist or broken arm or something.
As a frequent flyer, I can tell you if you need to go to the ER, 3 or 4 in the morning is pretty good. There's hardly anybody there.
Right?
Yeah, that seems to be my favorite time. I got to visit there a couple of weeks ago. So, and I'm trying to change. Their number one thing is ground level falls. Well, sepsis. I've been in there 5 times for sepsis in the last few years. So,
that's
hopefully,
just crazy. They need to give you a punch card.
I know, really, seriously. Frequent flyers, buy one get one free
that's
or something.
Right.
I don't know.
After 10 visits, then the 11th is free.
Weirdest thing though, this last trip I did the ER, like I said, about 2 weeks ago. There was not one single person that I had ever seen there before. And I've been to the ER many times, 5 or 6 times, and not different nurses, different doctors, different receptionists. Everybody was different. It was weird.
Wow.
So,
I, thankfully, knock on my head, haven't been there.
Rear veneer.
Recently, so.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Hope you stay out of there.
Yeah, now, everybody wants to talk to Michelle Randall and your city councilors about growth and water.
Yes.
I know that's the question I see online all the time, and I'm sure it's a question you get maybe once a day at least. And you know, how can you let them build? The most recent one, the city council approved the big apartment building up on Tech Ridge.
Yes.
199-unit apartment building. And I'm thinking, like, how many floors is that? Did they give you like, how tall it's going to be?
How tall was it?
Doing the math, 199, how many could be on each floor? Maybe
it was 4 or 5 stories.
Yeah, about 5. That's what I figured. And everybody's like, how come they're letting them build when we're running out of water? And I hear it over and over again, and I try to answer them, but I think probably it's better if you try to answer them, Michelle.
So we watch our water very closely. I had a meeting last Tuesday at the Water Conservancy District, and our residents, without us being heavy-handed, have really done a great job conserving. 8 years ago, well, it's 7 years ago. 7 years ago, we've added 8,000 connections in the city of St. George, water connections. That's for businesses, homes, you know, whatever.
Right.
And we, up until this summer, we were using the exact same amount of water,
really?
Even by adding those connections. So that tells us people are conserving. I think the reason we've used more this summer is we had such a dry winter and people started watering earlier.
Right.
And so that caused us to use more water. But also the amount of turf that's been removed so far. So, you know, if you go to the turf farm and you're going to roll out a thing of sod, you know about how wide that strip is. If you roll out a strip of sod, it can go 375 miles.
Wow.
With the amount of sod that's been removed. And that is just people voluntarily wanting to do it. So.
And the financial incentive helped because we did it and we got a rebate.
A huge financial incentive. But people, you know, they get tired of watering, they get tired of weeds, they get tired of mowing. And so they're like, hey, I'll go with more of a desert landscape. And I've seen a lot of my neighbors have done it as well. But also we are bringing on more resources for water storage. It's just getting through the federal bureaucracy.
Yeah, a lot of it is the NEPA, the environmental approvals.
It's huge. Yeah. You know, they want to make sure that you're going to, the mitigation, if you're going to upset a wetland here, you're going to mitigate over here and create more wetlands here. And it's just a bunch of just federal government at its best. Because we'll be building Graveyard Wash, which is over in Santa Clara. Mm-hmm. It will be storing reuse water. There is
Randall Reservoir, we're going to call it. No?
You know.
Hafen Lake?
For now, we're just referring it to Graveyard Wash.
We can't. We've already talked about this, Michelle. We cannot call it Graveyard
There's
Wash.
There's some
Reservoir.
People that love it.
That's
some people that hate
name.
It.
That's a terrible name. That's awful.
I said you could kind of, you know.
Like a Halloween kind of thing?
Yeah, you could put a skeleton
Who's going to swim in Graveyard Wash if they know there might be dead bodies in it?
It's not dead bodies. It's dead animals.
Well, that too.
That's why it got its name.
I know.
Everybody used to bury all their cattle and horses down in there.
They wouldn't even bury them. If they were really sick and they were going to die, they would just send them down there and say, go die over there.
Yeah. I'm sure they were more compassionate than that.
We're talking about farmers back in the 1800s, 1900s. Yeah, well, what did they do with their animals?
Shoot them in the head.
We need a better name than Graveyard Wash.
Okay.
We really do.
I'll pass that on.
Renstrom Reservoir. I don't know. Griffin Lake.
Mayor Rosenberg suggested Hamblin Reservoir.
By the way, I asked Rick Rosenberg,
yes.
Santa Clara, can we call it Rosenberg Reservoir? He said absolutely 100% not.
I know. That's what he told me to.
Yeah.
Because he,
How about Rick Lake?
Ricky Lake.
Hey, there is a Ricky Lake out there somewhere. So, I don't know.
But right now, all the wastewater we treat in the winter, we're not using outdoors because that's what we use on our golf courses. That's what we use on the parks, on the schools. Some subdivisions have reuse water. And so during the winter, when people aren't watering, we're just treating that water and sending it down to Lake Mead.
Yeah.
And so we need a place to capture it.
Right.
Because it's water that could actually be treated to drink.
Yeah. By the way, just got a text. You're going to like this one. Good morning. We watched the mayor yesterday on KUTV. Tell her she represented St. George well and made us proud to have her as our mayor. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. They had asked me.
I didn't see this, so I don't.
Okay, so it was supposed to be a 7 to 8 minute segment.
Okay. That's pretty long for TV.
That's pretty long.
Yeah.
But I went to my office because my home office, the lighting's horrible. It's pretty dark in there. So I went to the city office so I could have a little bit better lighting. And I got there at 7. I was supposed to go on at 7:30. And they kept having technical difficulties on their end. Because I didn't want to fly up for just a really short interview and fly back.
Yeah,
and that's a waste of money. Anyway,
They got cameras and stuff down here, right? You could do it.
We did it via Zoom.
Oh, okay.
And so they just kept saying, please be patient. Their producer kept chatting, and anyway, and it ended up being like a 2 minute interview, but
so your 7 and 8 minutes turned into two.
We breezed through it quickly.
What was the main topic?
They talked about growth. They wanted to talk about growth and water.
Yeah,
the airport expansion and the new airport tower and Dixie Days. So we ran through that as fast as I could.
Well, you have longer than 2 minutes here, but right now I do need to get a commercial in. So we'll talk about all that stuff and more with Michelle Randall, Mayor Thursday here on the Andy Griffin Show. We will be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the show today. I'm Andy. It's 9:36. She's Michelle Randall, the current mayor of St. George City. And in case you're wondering, people always ask me, how come you don't talk about the election more? Well, there's this weird FCC rule that if we talk about the election with a candidate, which Michelle is a candidate, we would have to give equal time to the to your opponent. And I'm not ready to do that yet. We are going to have you guys on, both of you, as candidates later on this year as we get closer to the election. But right now, we just want to talk about St. George City.
So, yep.
So that's why we have to do it the way we have to. It's an FCC rule.
Yes, it is. So,
but Michelle is running, in case you're wondering, and Jimmy Hughes is her opponent, and they both made it through the primary, and now they go head-to-head. And Jimmy has been on the city council for 14 years,
yes,
is that right?
14 years.
And you were on the city council before mayor, right?
I was on the city council for 7 years.
7 years.
Yeah.
Okay, and you've been mayor for?
At the end of this term, it'll be five.
5 years. Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
Yep.
So you and Jimmy are tight, right?
You're
good friends.
You've
known each other a long time. 9:37 on KDX. We wanted to talk a little bit about the airport. St. George Regional Airport. So when I first moved here, 30,000 people, the airport was up on a hill. And in my mind, I don't know, but in my mind, it didn't get used a lot, right? You didn't fly out of St. George to go somewhere. You drove to Vegas and flew out of there to go somewhere. Things have changed, haven't they?
They've changed a lot. We are breaking records every month at the airport. If you take one of the morning flights where the flights are leaving from Dallas, Salt Lake, and Phoenix about the same time, there's standing room only out there. Mm. So we are in design to expand the airport. It'll expand the terminal probably triple the terminal space that we currently have. Wow. The TSA lines, there'll be two instead of one. All of the gates will be upstairs, so we'll have an escalator and an elevator that will take you upstairs, and instead of three gates, there will be seven. So hopefully more airlines, different flights to different places. In August, we had almost 36,000 people.
Wow.
Go through
that. In
1 month in August. And you think, who wants to come here in August? So imagine what the numbers are going to be in September and October.
That's 1,200 a day.
Yeah. It was a 39% increase over last year.
Wow.
And it just keeps growing. And we broke ground on the airport tower. Mm-hmm. And we are so grateful to be getting an airport tower. For people that don't know, our air traffic control comes out of LAX. Mm-hmm. And it's dangerous.
I'm sure we're a real high priority for them.
We are top priority, yeah. And when we went back and met with the FAA, and told them where our air traffic control came out of, they were pretty stunned.
Yeah. Well, if you've seen the map, there's like this map of what towers control what areas, and this LA tower, it had a big, a lot of them were big chunks, but to think that St. George air traffic was controlled out of LA is just, it's mind-blowing. It really is.
It's dumb. Mm-hmm. And so now we will have... They are going to get started any day now, and they've got a very aggressive schedule. They're hoping to be done in about 13 months with the tower.
Wow,
and then the FAA will staff it, and we will have our own tower.
So could you, Michelle, right now name all the destinations that St. George flies to right now?
Right now.
Off the top of your head?
I
know it's a tough question, but.
We go to Salt Lake.
Salt Lake.
Phoenix. Dallas.
DFW.
And LA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's four destinations
four
right
destinations
now.
Four destinations.
And
right
all
now.
Of those places you fly to are all hubs that go pretty
anywhere.
Much all over the world.
Yeah. You can go anywhere in the world from St. George. But it would be nice to have maybe a Bay Area flight or mm-hmm. something from Seattle or some.
Maybe to Denver?
Yeah.
We used to have a Denver one.
We did have a Denver years ago.
Boise, maybe Seattle, like you said, but maybe Portland, something like that.
Right now, the busiest flight for August it was Salt Lake and then Dallas. We fly to Denver.
Oh, Denver. Oh, we do.
And
okay.
Denver was in the middle at 75%, and then LAX, and then Phoenix.
Salt Lake, Dallas, Denver, Phoenix, and who am I forgetting? Salt Lake, Denver, Dallas, Phoenix, and LA. Yeah, five destinations right now. Okay.
And the busiest, Salt Lake, and then Dallas is the second busiest.
Which, you know, if you're going to pretty much anywhere East Coast, Dallas is the perfect stopping place from here. And you go to Miami or New York or wherever from there. And we went to New Orleans from here through Dallas, which was kind of cool.
I like going the Dallas route if you're going back east. The Phoenix, it's hard because there's only one flight a day coming back, right, and it's late, and so I like the Dallas flight better.
And if your flight coming, connecting flight coming back gets delayed at all and you end up missing the flight, then you've got to stay the night. And
yes.
So I will say this. So we missed our flight coming back through Dallas, and we had to stay an extra day in Dallas, which was terribly inconvenient in some ways, but in other ways, a buddy from high school lives in Dallas now with his wife and family, and we were able to go hang out with them for the day. So it was kind of a blessing in disguise type situation there.
But if you don't know anybody, and you know.
Yeah, that could be frustrating for sure. So, okay. So the tower, you say 13 months. That means next fall is done.
Yep.
It
will be
cool.
Up and running, and all of our passengers, whether it's commercial flights or private aviators, will be a lot safer.
Now, one of the charms of flying out of St. George, one of the best things about it is you don't have the long lines. And getting through TSA, if you try to get through TSA in Vegas, you're talking about, if they're busy, an hour and a half minimum. You can get through TSA in St. George in 5 minutes, 10 minutes. It's really cool. As the airport expands, is that something that we're going to really try to keep that way? That it's not.
That's why we'll go from from one TSA line to two.
Yeah,
with the capacity to eventually go to four if we needed to.
Because you know, one of the arguments that I believe for St. George Airport, and the reason I like to fly out of St. George instead of going to Vegas now, is because, first of all, the short TSA. Second of all, you don't have to arrive 3 hours early. Third, you don't have to find somewhere to park your car for the week, or take a shuttle, which is an extra expense there. And so you kind of add all that together, and you go, well, why wouldn't I fly out of St. George, right?
And coming back, I mean, when you fly, if you fly out of Vegas, it's like, it's not so bad. But when you're coming back from a trip, you just want to be home.
You're exhausted, and you get off the plane, and you've got to either find a shuttle or somehow figure out where your car is, and it's probably half a mile away or a mile away.
Now your car's just right there, and you're home in 20 minutes.
Yeah, that was, you're right. You're right about that one. That is really, really nice. So anyway, St. George Airport is going, it is really, really, a lot of people are realizing how cool it is.
It's a very, very busy airport. It's a regional airport, of course. You know, SkyWest is a local grown airline, and it's the largest regional carrier in the world.
Do you see a day not very far off, maybe, where we can call it St. George International because we might fly to Mexico or
probably not
Canada?
In our day.
No? Okay. Our day. You just made us old, Michelle. He's made it old. By the way, we'll both be turning 60 in a few months. But you told him when you were born, 2 days before.
I didn't tell him the year.
Well, there's a big number coming up.
I know, that sounds so old.
It really does. When we were teenagers in high school, I don't know about you, but I was like, 60 is the one. That's the one. You're really old when you hit 60. That was in my brain. That's what it was. And I know life expectancy has gotten a lot better since then, but still, 60 kind of seems.
But still, 60, you're looking at what? 30 years if you're lucky?
Yeah, you still got
35, 50, maybe.
20,
I see 95 year olds, and I'm like, it doesn't look so great.
My dad's 90, he's still doing well. In fact, my dad can outswim me. He swims 30, I think it's 32 laps or 36 laps every other day.
Wow, good for him.
I'm like, dude, like, if I'm ever drowning, I need him to rescue me because I can't swim that good. But, all right, let's get another break in. Back more with Michelle Randall, mayor of St. George City, after this.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
All right, welcome back. I'm Andy. We have Dixie Days coming up on September 15th. Through the 21st, I think it is, right?
The 15th
through 20th. What is Dixie Days? And you did a good job of explaining it the first time, 2 years ago, in the very first one. But maybe explain again how Dixie Days came about, if you would.
So Dixie Days came about. It was actually Ralph Atkins' idea.
Good old
and
Ralph.
Ralph started SkyWest. And he's with the Sons of the Utah Pioneers and just an amazing man, if you know Ralph. But he said, hey, all these other cities, they have cotton days and peach days and Swiss days and everything. Yeah. Why don't we do Dixie days? And I thought it was a great idea. And so this is our second annual. But people, we have, well, the golf tournament sold out in 45 minutes.
Wow.
So nice. Monday the 15th, there will be a golf tournament.
Are you going to golf?
Tournament in the morning, no.
No, me neither.
I'm not a golfer. Yeah, but that night at Vernon Worthen Park, there's a free concert starting at 7. And
Michelle's going to sing? No, she's not. No.
It's Wildwood Duo is the band from up north. They're really great. And then afterwards, there will be a drone show. And so all of that is free. Then Tuesday and Wednesday.
Well, wait, don't gloss over the drone. So this thing is really cool. I mean, you know,
we're having two this year.
We've been going to fireworks shows our whole lives. And like drones, you're like, it can't be as cool. But then you go to one and you're like, whoa.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That is so cool.
The drone show will be at 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock on the first day?
On Monday, the first day. Okay. And so the best place to see it is downtown because it's done up on the Red Hill.
And last year I actually was right up here and watched it up from the Red Hill. So
yeah, it's amazing.
Very cool.
What they can do with drones. And so then on Tuesday and Wednesday, they are doing what they call Dixie Tracks. And so you can go to the city website,
SGCityUtah.gov.
That's right. Yeah. / Dixie Days. You can sign up for the treks. They're free. They take, the Utah Tech gives us a charter bus and they go visit a lot of different historical sites. And you can pick, you know, if you just want to go up into the attic of the tabernacle, you could just go on that one. Or if you wanted to go up to the Dixie Interpretive Trail or the encampment mall, you can just go on that one. But
basically guided hikes that are free, which
guided
those usually cost a lot of money.
That are free and also being done by like Lyman Hafen, Lauren Webb.
Experts
that know the area and history.
Nice.
On Thursday is when the rodeo starts, the Dixie Roundup.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, there is a dinner on Main Street. I think there's tickets still left for that.
That is very cool. All the restaurants kind of downtown, they have little sections, and you can pick which one you want to eat, what kind of food you want, and everything.
There's also a beer and wine garden, so if you don't want to go and have dinner, you can buy tickets to the beer and wine garden, or you can just go down and listen to the live music on Main Street. Then Saturday morning is the Dixie Roundup Parade.
There's a fun run first.
Yeah. Then
the parade.
And this year they're bringing in Longhorns from Kanab.
All right.
And
Hook 'em Horns
to run them down the road. So the parade will not be on Tabernacle. It'll be on 100 West. Okay. So there's just a straight shot so we don't have to worry about the roundabouts. So
you do not want to lose a longhorn on the route either.
No, you don't. So if you want to come and see that, that'll be awesome. And as of yesterday, they had 80 entries to the parade. And
Michelle, you will be on one of those. Right?
Yes, of course.
You'll be waving.
You'll practice your little princess wave. Throwing candy, all that fun stuff.
Okay.
And then the parade ends down by the Sun Bowl. And so at Vernon Worthen Park from 9 to 2 is the festival. So in conjunction with the farmer's market, there'll be a ton of booths, there'll be jump houses, there'll be a petting zoo, there'll be hay wagon rides, there'll be games, all kinds of things like that on the 20th. And then that night is the rodeo. And after the rodeo, so I'm thinking like around 10 o'clock, there'll be another drone show to end Dixie Days.
Nice.
And also, this is the last rodeo in the historic Sun Bowl.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Where will the rodeo be in the future?
It's going to be exactly in the same spot, but we are redoing the whole thing.
Okay. So it won't... Are we going to change the name then?
No.
So it'll still be the Sun Bowl, but it won't be the historic Sun Bowl.
It won't be the historic Sun Bowl that was built clear back when by a bunch of men that got together and pooled their money.
And they're really cool, but sitting on those concrete bleachers is...
It's a killer. I had to write an article for their rodeo book, and I said, this will be the last year that you'll have feet in your back and a Coke running, that somebody spills. So it will actually be able to seat about 7,200 people. Nice. Nice bleachers, and the arena will be shortened. We can have a lot of events in there, concerts, still the monster truck thing, different rodeos, extreme bowls, all kinds of stuff. And so we're really excited about it. Hughes Contractors is doing it, and they will start as soon as the rodeo is over, and they have to be done by next year for the rodeo to start. So they're on a very tight schedule as well.
I did get, we're down about 5 minutes. Somebody texted about the airport. Flights are so expensive compared to flying out of Vegas. Cost needs to come down. Can you ask the mayor about that? So
I think that is all supply and demand. If we can get more flights in here, I think the cost will go down. If you're going to be able to fill a plane in no time and you only have one flight going to Phoenix, you know, they can pretty much charge what they can get.
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious, what would go into, say, an airline's wanting to do two of the same place? Like, say, Dallas-Fort Worth gets really busy. They decided to add, well, they already do two, I think, but they decide to add another one. Is it just a matter of, are they selling out and so they feel like
right
they can
now
do
it? Right now, it is actually the amount of room we have. We just don't have the room.
Oh, okay.
And so that's why we need the expansion so bad, so that we can bring in more flights and maybe three or four going to Dallas a day instead of just two, or a couple going to Phoenix a day, or an Alaskan Airlines comes in, or different airlines like that. So we've got to have the expansion.
There's another question I'm going to ask, but I don't know if it applies. Question for the mayor. There must be a lot of water still in this area that blah, blah, blah. I was wondering what is going on up Highway 18. They're clearing a whole lot of desert out. And you and I had talked about this during the break. We don't know. Is that even in St. George City?
It just depends on where it is. St. George ends at the ledges.
Okay.
So anything north of the ledges is in the county.
They kind of bumped me and wanted me to ask you that question again. So, but the question, the answer is, don't know.
I don't know.
At this point. Okay.
No.
Cool. All right. Dixie Days is September 15th through 20th. That is, so next Monday is the 8th. That'll be the week after that, 1 week. So a week from Monday, Dixie Days. A lot of fun stuff going on. And again, you
want... A lot of fun. Oh, and the carnival.
Carnival.
There will be the carnival at Town Square. And that's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
So does that mean we're talking about like roller coasters and Ferris wheels and all that stuff?
Yes.
Wow.
The carnival that used to come for the 4th of July decided they wanted to come for Dixie Days because it's much cooler.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there will be a lot going on, a lot of free things as well. And, you know, of course, you're going to have to buy tickets to the carnival and the dinner on Main. But the drone show is amazing. You can watch it from anywhere. The concert's free. The trucks are free. So it's going to be a fun week.
Good time to kind of celebrate your Dixiness, if you will, and the spirit of Dixie. And
that's right.
You know, maybe folks that are fairly new to town here, haven't been here more than a year or two, maybe they don't quite know what that means, the spirit of Dixie.
Well,
hopefully we can teach them.
And one of the treks will go down to the encampment mall at the university. And a lot of people don't even know what that is. And when those pioneers were sent here in 1861, they camped right there. Hmm. And that's why it's called the encampment mall. And there's a memorial with all their names on it. And you'll see a man with two or three wives on there. But that's where they camped until they lined out the city and decided where their homes would be built. And so It'll be, if you can sign up for those treks, you need to. They're amazing.
Okay, a couple of things. The guy asking about what's going on 18, he said it is south of the ledges. And then Brad said it's a natural gas pipeline going in on Highway 18.
Okay.
So we have question and answer there, too. Thank you, Brad, for answering, because we didn't know the answer.
No.
But now we do.
No.
So, yeah, Dixie Day, September 15th through 20th. Was there something else on the calendar I'm forgetting about?
No.
Marathon's coming up. That's like a month from today, right? Or something like that.
But I'll be back on before the marathon, so we'll chat marathon. About the marathon and senior games.
Hopefully you'll join me marathon morning, too, on the air.
Yes.
Yes.
After the mayor's walk.
Yeah. Yeah, after the mayor's walk. Jimmy usually brings me a scone. I don't know if he'll be back yet. He's on some cruise ship somewhere or something.
Oh. But,
we'll have you on, and hopefully Mary has some... VIPs on the show during the St. George Marathon. And Huntsman World Senior Games are coming up very soon, too. In fact,
right after.
I read something that said a few of the sports have actually extended the deadline to register. So it was supposed to close, but I think they gave everybody another week or something for a lot of the sports. So. And, of course, me being a pickleball guy, I know that pickleball one is already full.
Busy time in St. George.
Michelle Randall, mayor of St. George City. She'll be on first week. We're actually going to have her on Wednesday, the first week of October. I think that's Wednesday the 1st.
Yes.
And then the marathon would be like the 5th or something like that.
So. The following Saturday.
Yeah.
Yep.
So thanks, Michelle, for coming.
Thank you, Andy.
Really appreciate it.
Have a great day.
We'll talk to everybody tomorrow.